Hey, this is Kevin Sorbo here, and you are listening to Thinking Outside the Long Box. And really, do some thinking, seriously.
We're on the road, we're going home, to the place where wild nerds roam, with pretty girls and dudes and kids, going to cons is our.
Hey man, this is Kevin Smith, Silent Bob from all those terrible Jay and Silent Bob type pictures, and you are listening to Thinking Outside the Long Box, comics talk for comics fans.
Hey everybody, and welcome to Thinking Outside the Long Box with the Long Box guys. My name is Tom, and I'm so excited to be here today on a Memorial Day. We have at least two people here who are our veterans. We'll let you guess who it is, and if you can guess, email Lucky Bastard. I think we've talked about it in the past, though, at least a couple of times. Mike, how you doing and what you drinking?
I'm doing excellent, and I am drinking a Red Tornado. It is cranberry juice, vodka, and seltzer water.
Excellent. Did you make up that drink, or is that kind of a known thing?
I made up that drink myself.
Can't wait to put that in the comic book, then, a Red Tornado. Josh, love your D&D shirt. What are you drinking and how you doing?
I'm drinking this giant can of Startline Brewing's new hazelnut coffee stout, which is delicious, but I'm drinking it out of my aircraft aluminum mug so it doesn't get warm.
Damn straight you are. Tommy, little Tom, how you doing and what you drinking?
I'm doing fine. I am drinking water tonight on this wet, damp Memorial Day night.
It is a wet, damp day here in Boston. Some of us aren't in Boston. What's the weather like down in Georgia, Mike?
Hot, damn hot, Africa hot. So hot I can cook things in my pants.
Tarzan couldn't take that hot.
I'm going to have to leave if it's going to stay this hot. Biloxi Blues, bang. All right, well, today we're going to be talking about a great subject, one I'm really excited about because some of my favorite characters fall in this milieu, and we're going to be talking about robots. Mike, give us a little history of robots.
I love robots.
No.
Well, oddly enough, robots or automatons have kind of a very long and storied history in fiction and in history. Some of the first automatons were made in Germany. They played music. There are some really fascinating robot stories out there, but robots in comics is what we're going to be talking about today, so we don't have to get into the entire thing. Do we want to make any kind of distinction between robots, androids, and cyborgs? I didn't think cyborgs would fall under this category. Do you guys all agree with that?
I agree with that. Yeah, cyborgs are out. I mean, I like cyborg, but cyborg is not a robot.
Yeah, cyborgs in general aren't like, so Deathlok, cyborg, a few others, they're not going to be what we're talking about today. Today we're just talking about robots in general. Mike, why don't you tell us one of your favorite robots?
My very favorite robot in comic books is the Red Tornado. He was created by Gardner Fox and Dick Dillon and premiered in Justice League of America number 64 back in 1968. The origin story is T.O. Morrow creates the Red Tornado, who he wants to use against the Justice League, and he gives them the ability to generate tornado speed winds. Later on, they retcon the origin to say that the old JLA villain, the Tornado Tyrant, actually inhabited the body of the Red Tornado, bringing him to life. And he was later retconned again into being inhabited by an air elemental and was part of the air element, or excuse me, the elemental war that was going on in Firestorm, between Firestorm and Red Tornado and Swamp Thing and somebody else, I can't remember, whatever the Earth or Elemental was. But it was a good series. However, if we're going to talk about the best Red Tornado series, in my humble opinion, you got to talk about Justice League of America, Volume 1, number 152. In that story, Red Tornado rescues an orphan girl from a war zone. And whereas the rest of the Justice League was like, okay, we've solved it, Red Tornado looked at the little girl and realized that he was going to have to put her in an orphanage with all these other children who have been war orphans, and he couldn't do it. He couldn't bring himself to do it. He felt responsible for the child and ended up adopting her. And it really showed off his humanity despite not being actually human. Now, Red Tornado was constantly destroyed. His body got wrecked a bunch of times during both the Copper and Bronze Age, leading right up into the modern era. If you want to check out another longer series, you can check out Justice League America Volume 2. The first year or so, the Red Tornado is one of the main characters in that book, and they focus in on him. Now, a fun Alec fact, Red Tornado appears in an episode of the Supergirl TV show in Season 1. In this version, he's an android created by T.O. Morrow for military use, and the actor who played T.O. Morrow also played Red Tornado. Now, as a result of the New 52, Red Tornado has not yet appeared in continuity, so we're not sure if he exists or not.
That's tough when you don't know if someone exists or not.
That'd be awful if he didn't. Pondering, I do like Red Tornado.
He's been pondering whether he exists or not his whole existence, so I guess that's only fitting.
All right, I'm really worried someone's going to take my favorite, but I'm going to go with Josh for next. Josh, who's your favorite robot in comic book history?
Well, I'm gonna dodge yours. I think I know what someone else is gonna go with here. So I'm gonna go off path a little bit here, and I'm gonna go a couple. I think I'm just gonna go with a little string of honorable mentions. So first of all, the Transformers, right? I'm a huge Transformers fan. Probably a bigger GoBots fan when I was a kid, but yeah. That's not true. But we all know, you know, the Transformers.
Not everybody could afford Transformers. All right,
that's
GoBots,
right.
We just were paid... perfectly acceptable generic ripoff.
Absolutely. And if you were really bored, you could just paint faces on the bottom of your matchboxes because that's what GoBots were. But the Transformers, the comic book came out like in the early '80s. Mid-80s, and then they said, oh, it's going to be a four-issue miniseries, and...
Well, you had one of the great Japanese giant model transforming toys. I can't remember what it was. What was that, Josh?
Oh, I had some of the big Japanese plastic stand-ups. I had Mazinger, Grandizer, and the big plastic Godzilla. And my big one for now, like if you actually look at like how like rare one is, I had a red VF-15 Robotech fighter who was 24 inches tall and die-cast metal transformer. He was awesome. And that was thanks to Mr. Big's Toyland back when it was still in Waltham. And that guy just imported toys nobody ever saw in the United States back when you couldn't just find manga and Japanese stuff on every toy store in the world.
Yeah, I remember the Mazinger because it would take, like, literally would take you, like, 10 minutes to transform the thing because you followed a very rigorous, every single time, the same exact way thing. It was really cool.
Yeah, they actually, every time we went there, I would beg my father to drive out to Mr. Big's every so often, and they actually had the Yamato, a full size, like us. It was like 6 feet long, and it was a toy chest, and the cannons worked and fired everything. And it was like, you know, like $200 in like 1983. And my dad was like, there's no way I'm spending $200 on a box, right? And if you still have that toy chest now, that thing's like 20 grand.
No, easily 20 grand.
Easily 20 grand. I'm almost tangent on my tangent here, but I did love the Transformers back in the day. The original was only supposed to be a four-issue miniseries, and it was so well-received it ended up being like 80 comic books. The other one I like is why can't I think of his name? I am brain-farting. Baymax, Big Hero 6. I love me some Baymax.
Yeah, great comic. I mean, great character, not a comic. All right, Tommy, what about one of yours? Don't take mine.
Well, just to make sure that I wasn't taking one of yours, I decided to go with something a little bit more modern and go with Tim 21 from the Descender series, written by Jeff Lemire and art by Dustin Nguyen. And that's a series where Tim 21 is a boy robot companion to a small child on an asteroid mining colony. These giant harvester robots come and basically destroy a huge portion of the population among all of the known human colonies in space, and they kind of decimate all of these colonies and leave all the robots unharmed. And Tim 21 was asleep at the time, and he wakes up 10 years after this big event and tries to figure out where everybody went and what happened. And it's a story about him trying to find his lost family, his companion Andy, and his family that had, you know, that had bought him for a companion for Andy and stuff. And it's a really interesting story.
All right, this one I'll have to look up. All right, so everyone already figured out what my favorite of all time is. Andy the Awesome Android, created by the Mad Thinker. I loved Andy the Awesome Android, especially his run during She-Hulk. He made She-Hulk's comic book for me. He was just so much fun. So Andy the Awesome Android, or the Awesome Android, created by the Mad Thinker to fight first against the Fantastic Four, then against Rom the Space Knight, and then a couple others, is a giant robot who can absorb the powers one at a time of those around him. He's also super strong, super resilient. But he has a giant kind of block head. No facial expression, no mouth, no eyes. All his sensors are buried deep within him. He can sense the world perfectly well without any of those outside sensors, so he doesn't need them. He becomes sentient and decides he doesn't want to be the puppet of the Mad Thinker and becomes kind of an assistant to the She-Hulk when it comes to her law firm. He falls in love with someone who is wounded during a superhero battle, and they fall in love with each other eventually. Unfortunately for Andy the Awesome Android, he might have accidentally absorbed some of Star Fox's powers. So Star Fox is able to make people fall in love with him, so he's not sure if the girl that he loves is actually in love with him. This leaves him so despondent that he climbs to the top of a tall building and jumps off. Was he trying to commit suicide or just escape? We'll never know, because a bird was flying by and he absorbed the power of flight. So it might have been a Animal Man kind of crossover in a weird way where Captain Cyanide commits suicide. He's a great character, a lot of fun. He has a little chalkboard because he doesn't have a mouth. He has a little chalkboard around his neck so he can write things so people can understand what he's saying. He always dressed in suits, even though he was just a giant 6-foot android with no face. He was an insanely fun character. Mike, I know you love Andy the Awesome Android. That would have been one of yours if you weren't nice and left it for me.
Yeah, he is great and one of the few characters who has been worthy of picking up Thor's hammer.
Oh, that's a great thing. He picked up Thor's hammer. He is worthy of picking up Thor's hammer. Mike, do you have anyone else?
Oh, yeah, I've got a whole list.
I got some more, too.
Before I go too much deeper, I'll just start with my dad's favorite robot from comic books, and that's G.I. Robot.
I love G.I. Robot!
Yeah,
he was an honorable mention.
Yeah, he used to star in Weird War Tales that my dad would collect. My dad loved war comics. And so G.I. Robot was created by the Army. The first one was named Joe. The next version was named Mac. And then they had Jake version 1 and version 2 and along down the line. But he was great. I especially loved him when he teamed up with the Creature Commandos. I thought that was great. And when he fought on Dinosaur Island, that's when the G.I. Robot was at his best.
Yeah, I loved him in the Creature Commandos. I love the Creature Commandos. Werewolf by Night, all those guys were terrific. Josh, you got another one for us?
Yeah, I actually danced around this thinking somebody else would take Atomic Robo.
Nope.
I mean, nope. Really? No one took Atomic Robo? I mean,
he was on my list.
He's such a great character. I love the thematic elements of that comic book, just the cross between robot science fiction, giant monsters, and just the Indiana Jones feel of the rolling action that goes on. Just the dialogue all fits that real like serial adventure from when you were kids, when action movies were just straight up action movies, and I love them. I just love reading those comics.
That was a great one. I don't know. That wasn't even in my wheelhouse. I don't know how I missed that one. LT, what's your next?
I would have to say Machine Man from the Marvel.
Oh, games. Damn it! Okay. good pick.
Was that one of yours, Tom?
It wasn't my next one, though, so go ahead.
So I was like Machine Man. His comics tended to have a little bit of humor involved in them. He had all the power of Stiltman in that he could, extend out his limbs.
All the power of Stiltman.
All the power
None of the humanity.
I always thought he was kind of a great character, and, he had his own little miniseries here and there, and he would always pop up occasionally, and I just thought he was a nifty little throwaway character that was in the Marvel Universe that would appear here and there.
Machine Man is a terrific character. He appears a lot, here and there, like you said, sidekicks sometimes, just observing sometimes. I really did like Machine Man. He wasn't my next pick, though. My next pick is one that I don't think anyone would have picked. Does anyone remember The Recorder? I see a lot of blank faces there. Tommy, you remember The Recorder. So
I
really enjoyed the – go ahead.
He was worn around somebody's neck, wasn't he?
No.
Damn.
He was actually a wooden flute.
You're thinking of the musical instrument, both of you. All right, The Recorder is a humanoid-shaped android built by the Rigelians in a distant galaxy. The main purpose was to be scouts for planets that might be considered for colonization. They were programmed in 11,000 languages all throughout the Milky Way. And all they were supposed to do is observe and record. The most famous of these recorders, there were many of them, was Recorder 211. And that's the one I loved because he accompanied Thor and and Fandral the Fantastic and Hogan the Grim. And who's the third in that? Volstagg the Voluminous. In their giant trip across space. He was supposed to just observe and record. But sometime during this, while he's watching the Fantastic Trio fight, he decides to become involved.
And, I think, he only got involved because his arch nemesis, the Osarina, was there.
The Osarina, always the nemesis of the Recorder. Because the Osarina can play like one note less.
Yeah, it's brutal.
He's always trying to beat him.
It's just brutal.
That was a crappy joke to interrupt my rant with, Josh. Just so you know, yeah.
Yeah, I went there.
You went there. The Recorder was terrific. I really loved that saga, that Thor trying to get his way all the way back to Earth. It was a multi-year mission, part of the Ragnarok storyline, on this giant Viking boat that could sail through space. And it was, Volstagg and Fandral and Hogan and Thor and the Recorder finding aliens and supervillains and planets. He fought Ego, who makes his appearance in Guardians of the Galaxy. Spoiler for only Josh on the planet, you jerk, for not going to see it.
Not this planet.
Not this planet. So the Recorder was my next pick, so Machine Man would have been next, but good on you. I love G.I. Robot, too. That was a great pick, Mike. Mike, what else you got?
Bloodshot from Valiant Comics. If you haven't checked out the latest Bloodshot comics, they are excellent. The idea is Bloodshot is a synthetic humanoid who has been filled with very intelligent nanites, which are able to repair his body whenever he takes any kind of damage. But it means that he has to consume a large amount of protein in order to keep the nanites functioning. So if he gets wounded, he'll go eat a cow or something like that, if he's really seriously wounded. The created by Project Rising Spirit, the idea behind it was they wanted to make him their weapon, and so they implanted a whole bunch of memories of different human beings. And depending on what the mission was, they would program Bloodshot with those memories, and then when he'd come back, they'd wipe the memory and they'd start over. The whole first series from the latest Valiant reincarnation in 2012, Bloodshot keeps on remembering even after they've wiped him. So he keeps on thinking he's a human being and he needs to get back to his family. And he later on discovers that it was all a brain dump that he had, and he's very mad and takes out his revenge. It's going to be a major motion picture. Jason David Frank from the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers fame is supposed to be starring in it. I hadn't heard about this, but my daughter, who loves the Green Power Ranger, was very excited about it, told me all about it. So, Bloodshot, you should check him out.
Fun Alec fact, what world record does Frank hold? Anybody?
I have no idea.
The most boards broken during a free fall. Yeah, free falling from a plane with a bunch of his students. He's a martial artist. He has the world record for breaking the most boards in a row. And here's another fun Alec fact. Another martial artist pretended that he had beaten his record and, like, put it all over the internet, and just to make him go do it again. So Frank thought it was real, and he broke his own record again, not knowing that this guy was just scamming him. Which I think is hilarious. So.
Huh. All right.
That's funny.
So, Mike, it sounds like the Bloodshot storyline is very similar to the TV series Dollhouse that was done by, I can't think of his name right now, the person who did Firefly. Joss Whedon, yeah. So
you really
think
for a second that Elisha Dushku can sit there and eat a whole fucking cow?
No, but in terms of the whole implanted memories and having them wiped and remembering part of them was a very much a theme of Dollhouse.
And that girl's got an appetite, though.
She can barely get through, like, four donuts. She's tiny. She's like 100 pounds wet.
And yes, who's the world's hot dog contest eater? What does that guy look like?
Joey Chestnut? He's not that big, actually.
He's tiny.
Well, he's not tiny either.
No, the little Asian guy.
Yeah.
No, Joey Chestnut has beaten him on the last couple of years.
Oh, so it's the next guy.
The next guy, the second guy, he's tiny.
See? Dollhouse is human beings, yeah. Yeah, they're not programmed.
Josh, who's your next?
Okay, now I've got it's a little bit of a thing. So nobody look this up. Hands off keyboards. All right. So when I was a kid, this kind of inspired me to the whole robot synthetic thing. There is a robotic horse, and his name is Clang Stumper. Do you know what he's from? It's not a comic book. It's from a TV show.
Yeah, that's from, oh my God, the Brave Star.
No.
It's kind of like Galaxy Rangers. Though.
No, that's a good guess, though. I did love Galaxy Rangers, and they did have the robotic horses. Anyone? Clang Stumper?
Come on. It's the sheriff there with the... He could take on, like, one aspect of, like, a bear or an eagle or a... Right?
Nope. Now you're thinking... Is that Dark Star you're thinking?
No.
No, Brave something?
Yeah, Brave something.
No, that's not it.
All right, go ahead.
It is from the Jack Frost special. He is the horse of Kubla Kraus, the bad guy from... Remember Jack Frost? The Rankin and Bass one?
Yeah.
He rides the robotic horse? Yeah. That's Clank.
I don't remember the horse. That's cool, though.
No? He's a little steam-powered horse. He was awesome. He turns good at the end. I love that guy.
You got one over on me. I did not think of that horse.
Sorry.
Put that on my tombstone, by the way. You got one over on me. I did not think of that horse. It's perfect.
Oh, and I think earlier you said Big Hero 6 like it was a cartoon, but it was a comic long before it was a cartoon.
Yeah.
Right. Just saying.
Tommy.
Go ahead.
So it looks like originally, according to Wikipedia, Bloodshot was a former soldier with powers of regeneration due to nanites. So originally he was
people.
And then he was not.
So you're going to be that guy? You're going to be that guy and call Mikey out? You feel good?
I was just checking.
Feel like a big man?
After all the damage that I've seen Bloodshot take, I have no doubt in my mind that he is not human.
I have no doubt in the relaunch that he's not human, but
thank
both
you for
Josh
that.
And I thought he was
it.
Originally partly human.
Yes, I agree with you. Definitely in the original series.
Yeah, I don't know about
All right, Tommy, what you got for your next?
I'm going to go with Jocasta, who was built by Ultron to be his mate, using the Wasp's basically her mind brain.
Basically.
Powder. Basically. Yeah, I'm
basically.
Breaking.
For those of you playing at home, every time LT says basically, we all drink. That's why we're pretty drunk by the end of the podcast.
It's
basically,
true.
Basically, go ahead.
So anyway, Jocasta was a member of the Avengers for a bit. She was a robot built by Ultron to be her mate, to be his mate, and she was used the Wasp brain patterns and life essence to build Jocasta. And of course, you know, as with Ultron's many creations, a lot of them end up being much better than Ultron himself, and ended up fighting for the right of good with the Avengers against Ultron. And I don't know, I thought she was a nifty character. She was co-created with George Perez, and I just, you know, as I thought she was kind of a neat character, and she wasn't really, you know, in a lot of the comic books, but she was in a decent amount of Avengers run, and created by Jim Shooter and George Perez.
Straight Jim Shooter. I find it interesting that none of us have mentioned a villain up to this point. That's where I'm going next. I really enjoy the Sentinels, the giant robot murder machines of the... I'm sorry, Mike?
Well, you're a big fan of Nimrod?
I am a big fan of Nimrod.
Master
I'm a big
Mold?
Fan of the Sentinels. I master mold the entire guys. It's not like I love them, but I do really enjoy whenever they're in a comic book because they're a great nemesis. You know, I said earlier this week that on our Twitter page that if there weren't good supervillains, then every superhero would just be people who can do fantastic things in weird costumes, and that's just Cirque du Soleil. So we gotta have good villains for these guys to fight. And I always thought the Sentinels were a terrific bunch of villains. They can adapt. They can overcome. Every time you defeat one, they learn something from it. So you can't defeat them the same exact way the next time. That's part of the programming of them. So they become harder and harder and harder to defeat as you go along. They're a great bad guy to fight. Now, it's not like I love having Sentinels around. But I do love whenever I see them in a comic book because I know it's going to be an insanely good fight, and they're interesting to watch. There are a couple of great supervillain androids and robots out there. We're probably going to name a few more. Mike, what's your next?
Next up, I've got the Metal Men. They were created in the 1960s and first appeared in Showcase Comics. They were so popular, they went on to get their own series in DC Comics. The idea behind the Metal Man is Dr. William Magnus creates a group of artificial intelligent robots. Each robot is based on a certain metal and has properties that give them superpowers based on it, like lead is kind of dumb, but big and strong. Gold is the team leader and very flexible. And, of course, Platinum, also known as Tina, was the sexy robot who was in love with Will Magnus, and I think he was a little crazy.
Why is Platinum slutty?
She's not slutty. As a metal. She's just obsessed with Will Magnus.
Well, she's pretty flirtatious, over the top, and many times.
Oh, yeah. She wants to do
like
her
crazy over the top.
Yeah. And I don't think that was an... He played it off like it was an accidental design, and he was not into it, but he created her. I'm pretty sure
he created the middleman. I don't think that promiscuous to the point of being sexually aggressive is an innate ability of Platinum. So, you know.
You've never had a Platinum choker, then, have you?
Is a Platinum choker that thing your wife and you did last weekend and you texted? Because that was weird.
That's $20, same as downtown.
Same as downtown. Thank you. Josh, what's your next?
I'm gonna say this is, it could be, it's, this is debatable. Warlock. So Warlock of the New Mutants.
Now, yeah, Warlock, he's definitely a robot.
He's techno-organic, so there are electronic life forms. So is he a robot? I don't really know. But I don't know if he qualifies. But I'm gonna throw him in the mix. I always liked Warlock. He was a good comedic sidekick, and he made the Douglock team, since Doug had no combat abilities whatsoever. He was a kid who excelled in Spanish homework. But and Warlock was sort of his superpowered babysitter in their massive misadventures. Plus, he's the only one who could completely understand Warlock. And of course, Warlock's shining moment was his shapeshift battle with Impossible Man, which always remind me of the Disney witch versus Merlin thing in the what's it, the Sword and the Stone. You know, this is who could outdo each other in the shapeshift battle, and I really enjoyed that comic.
Yeah, Warlock, and, Warlock I think... won. I can't remember. So long ago. What was it?
He changed color, which Impossible Man could not.
Nice.
Yeah.
I love Douglock, by the way. I thought that was a great combination. But, you know, one of them was definitely carrying the team. There's no doubt about it. Tommy, what do you got next?
Well, since you brought up supervillains, I'm just going to mention the Vision's family.
What? How dare you, sir? They are the modern nuclear family.
Literally.
Yes, they are. And sometimes they make mistakes. Sometimes those mistakes get buried in the backyard. And sometimes those mistakes happen
on
to
your
be neighbors.
Okay, so if you don't know what he's referring to, you have done yourself a disservice by not going out and reading Tom King's The Vision. It is all about the Vision and his family that he builds, and it is not what you expect, and it is phenomenal. It was named one of the top books of the year by a whole bunch of different websites and podcasts, and it was also nominated for an Eisner Award. Check out Visions. Good call. But how dare you call his family supervillains?
How dare I not? How many people did they kill in that book? By accident, of course.
It was all just
accidents. Accidents happen.
Accidents happen.
Over and
well,
over.
Well, my next one, there are no accidents whatsoever when Brainiac kills, because Brainiac means to kill. Brainiac was a great supervillain and a robot. Maybe someone can tell me I'm wrong here, but he was a robot, wasn't he? Yeah, robot. Thank you.
Yeah?
Yeah, robot. Yeah. So Brainiac was an artificial intelligence that was programmed to go out and gather knowledge. Somewhere along the line, he figured out that if he observed a race, absorbed all the knowledge, and then moved on, he'd be missing out on what they created next. So the only logical thing to do would be to destroy the civilization or the planet that he was observing. That way, there would be no more knowledge. Ipso facto, he'd have all the knowledge. That is a perfectly cromulent way to take all the knowledge in. I understand Brainiac the way a lot of people don't. So Brainiac was just fulfilling his primary function, gather all the knowledge. And to do so, maybe a few civilizations had to go. All right, fine, that happened. Moving on.
You know what? Brainiac doesn't get enough credit. Hear me out here. Brainiac, for a while, I believe it was back in the Silver Age, or possibly even further back than that, his idea to save civilizations were to shrink down cities and put them in little bottles so that way he could preserve them. And he saved hundreds of thousands of Kryptonian lives from being destroyed on the planet by taking Kandor and saving it. So he never gets credit from Superman. He's always viewed as a villain by Superman just because, you know, tries to kill Superman.
A buddy of mine just recently came back from Sweden where he was taking a bike trip, and he showed me a picture of the world's tallest paved road. Do you guys know who paved that road? That was Hitler. Hitler paved the road so he can get the tanks over the mountain. People forget that supervillains can do good things too. So the world's highest paved road, thanks, Hitler. And thank you. And thank you, Brainiac, for saving Kandor. You are truly a humanitarian. Mike, who's your next pick?
I don't know how I'm going to beat that. I'm going to have to go with the original Human Torch.
Yes.
The first Marvel superhero. Or was he the first or the second? Him and Namor. I can't ever remember which one was first.
They're right together.
But originally known as the Human Torch, also known as Jim Hammond. He was a... published by Timely Comics, the predecessor to Marvel Comics. He was an android created by Phineas Horton. I first encountered him when I was reading the 1970s Invader series, where the Human Torch was part of the Invaders with Captain America and Namor. I loved it. I thought he was great. They brought him back later on, and I believe he was the body that they used to create the Vision. Is that right, LT?
I believe that he was the basic frame that the Vision was used for in some of the storylines.
Ah, cool.
I mean, you know, it's all kind of wishy-washy since the Dr. Pym was, or Prime, or however you want to pronounce it, was supposedly, you know,
Wait. Who has ever said Dr. Pym?
I don't know.
Megabind?
There you go. Megamind.
Fine. Maybe Megamind, but no one calls him Dr. Pym, you monkey. It's Pym.
Hello, Dr. Pym.
What the hell are you talking about?
Olo.
Anyway, he was supposedly in a trance when he created the Vision and didn't remember any of it. So if you go with the original storyline... It's hard to say, but supposedly he did use part of the original Human Torch.
Fine. That explains Dr. Pym. Josh, you got anybody else?
I was thinking of just, you know, honorable mentions here for villains. The Manhunters from Green Lantern.
No, that's a good one. Tommy, got any honorable mentions?
Herbie from the Fantastic Four.
Boom. That was going to be one of my... Yeah.
He is the skeet of the Fantastic Four.
He was the skeet of the Fantastic Four. Mikey, any honorable mentions?
Skeets.
I would go with Doombots. If we're going to talk
Doombots.
About
Doombots. Now, Doombots are everywhere.
And they are great because anytime a writer does something that the next writer didn't like, he can just say, it was a Doombot.
Doombot. As long as we're doing the Doombot trope, LMDs, live model decoys.
I was going to say that next.
Live model decoys are pretty ubiquitous among S.H.I.E.L.D. agents. And I'd be remiss if I didn't mention my new favorite robot of all time, and that is Dum Dum Dugan. Dum Dum Dugan in the Creature Commandos is a robot at this point. His knowledge, his intelligence, his everything has been downloaded. He doesn't know how many bodies he has, but he keeps getting downloaded over and over again every time he gets destroyed. So Dum Dum Dugan at this point is a robot, and Dum Dum Dugan, as everyone knows, is one of my favorite characters of all time. And I love the new Creature Commandos. So much fun to read. Anybody else with an honorable mention?
What about the Micronauts? Micronauts? Robots?
I have no idea if they're robots. I think they're
people. I don't know.
Hands off. I think they're people.
I don't know.
Someone's got to look it up.
They're on metal. I mean, someone's got to look it up.
Does someone?
I'll look it
up. Why don't we let Mike, the Longbox Legion write to us if they really are concerned about the Micronauts? I can't believe you didn't mention Ida from The Middleman.
Oh, I loved Ida, but I was thinking more comic books, even though The Middleman has some comic books.
Middleman was a comic book first before it was made into the TV. I'm sorry, I never got into the Micronauts. I thought the whole concept was microscopically stupid.
I love Baron Karza. He was my favorite toy when I was a kid.
Like, Baron Karza was scary.
Yeah, like he had the magnetic limbs you could interchange, and he had you could make him into a centaur, and he had the horse, and all the Micronaut parts had magnet. You could make them mix and match them. They were all die-cast. They were like the best toys when I was a kid, man.
Well, if you're going to go with toys, I'm surprised nobody brought up Rom the Space Knight.
I was just going to say Rom, but I wasn't sure if he was an actual person or if he was a cyborg.
I believe he's technically a cyborg, right?
I don't know. It's another one. No idea. Look in the guts of Rom. I don't know.
If you're in the Longbox Legion and want to write into us about Micronauts or Rom the Space Knight, you can write into Lucky Bastard at OutsideTheLongbox.com. And you may win a graphic novel. What is this month's graphic novel? And do not say Wanted, because that was last month's.
This month we're giving away Spider-Man the Gauntlet.
Ooh.
Oh, fancy. Ooh.
It is fancy.
Sounds awesome.
All right, so you can write in to us and just talk about a little bit about the Micronauts or anything you want, and you'll automatically be entered. No matter what you talk about, when you talk to Lucky Bastard, you are automatically entered. And that kind of brings us over to segments. Mikey, what do you got in the front of the long box?
Okay, so I was at MegaCon in Orlando this weekend, and I had a great time. Among the things that I bought in the 25-cent bin, I found three issues of Prez. It's a 1970s comic by Joe Simon, the creator of Captain America and the entire romance genre, along with Jack Kirby. He was the first team president. It is a ridiculous series. The thing I want to talk about, though, is our Lord and Savior, Mark Russell, who is currently writing The Flintstones, did a six-issue revival of Prez, and that's what I'm going to recommend to you. If you like The Flintstones, this is kind of like a precursor to The Flintstones. It was six issues. It's out in graphic novel form. You can pick it up pretty cheap. I'm sure if you go into your local comic book shops, you'll probably find the whole series in the cheap boxes. It didn't sell very well, but it was great. And the idea behind this is Betsy Ross is working at a hamburger stand and accidentally fries some of her hair and becomes a Twitter sensation. And in this day and age, in the future, the president is elected by Twitter results. And so the Democrats and the Republicans, they never say which one's which, are running against each other. And it comes down to a tie. So Congress has to decide on who's going to become the president. And all these people start voting for Betsy Ross because she got one electoral vote, and just so they can leverage their vote against the other party, so that way they'll get offered more pork for their district. And because these guys are idiots and more people keep on jumping ship, they accidentally elect Betsy Ross to be the president. And I will tell you why I chose this one, because it has a transgender robot named Tina, who was also known as the War Death Machine. And she is just a phenomenal character. She was designed by one of the corporations to just destroy America's enemies, and she realizes that there's more to her life than what she was originally programmed for, and goes out on a path to find herself and ends up becoming the bodyguard for Prez. Great series. Check it out. It's not quite as good as The Flintstones, but if you like The Flintstones, you'll probably like this.
That seems like something I really want to read. I have a couple issues of the old Prez, and I kind of thought those were kind of fun. It very much reminds me of The Geek, which was another great comic that I liked a lot. The Prez and The Geek had a lot in common, right, Mike?
Yeah, they were both written by Joe Simon, wrote both of them around the same time. The Geek is a mannequin who comes to life and becomes a hippie. If you have two issues of that, then you have all two issues, because there were only two issues of it. If you have two issues of Prez, you almost have the entire series, because there were only four issues of the original Prez series. And I managed to pick up three of them in the quarter bin at the con, so I'm well on my way to having the series.
As long as we're talking about The Geek real quick, Robot?
No, Mannequin.
Well, Mannequin that's brought to life. It's an artificial intelligence in a mechanical-ish body. Josh?
I'm unfamiliar. If it's magic, then clearly not a robot.
I would say magical automaton. I would actually kind of go with golem.
It's a golem?
Yep. It's a cloth golem. Tommy, you got a ruling?
I would say that a golem is no robot.
I would say mechanical golems are, but all right, clockwork golem. All right. LT, what do you got in the back of the long box? You got to go further back than Mikey did here.
I'm going to go with Fallout Toy Works from 2009, written by Nathan Kerbera, Brett Lewis, Darren Romanelli, Pete Wentz, with art by Sam Basri. This was based on Fallout Boy's, the band's work, and it was the first four issues were really great. It ended not that great, but the first four issues were really strong. It's a story about a genius robotic toy maker who makes these one-of-a-kind robotic toys, and he's on the verge of bankruptcy, and a very wealthy man comes and hires him to make a robot mate for him. And at first he says, it can't be done, it's too complex, it'll never work. And the guy says, look, I will give you, you'll have everything that you need. You'll have unlimited resources to do it, just do it. And the guy says, okay, well, if I have unlimited resources, and he just spends years building this fantastic robot, and he does it, and he ends up falling in love with the robot. And it's a story about him making this awesome machine, and how he loves it, and how the robot itself is torn between loving its creator and loving this guy that she was programmed to love. And it was fantastic. Like I said, first four issues were really great. The ending kind of felt like it was rushed, and maybe it was probably like, this is the last book we're going to get to make, so we have to jam it all in now.
Was that an Image comic?
It was, I believe, an Image comic.
All right, then. Josh, why don't you take us out on a tangent real quick?
I'm going to take an easy one today and keep it all kind of in the theme. We got Wonder Woman coming out soon. I got to say, the current media is just so chock full of, well, I mean, we're just being overrun by images and generally horrible bastardizations of some of the stuff we love just coming to the screen. Just anything that has an inherent audience at this point is being rewritten by Hollywood slackers because they don't have an original idea. But if you had to pick a single comic book as a complete story to come to the screen, or one character to come to the screen, big or little screen, what comic book do you take and which character do you take? Don't have to be related.
It's high time for Batroc Zilliper to have his own movie. Actually, you know what would be a little bit better? Arcade. I loved Arcade. He was like a super villain, kind of low level. Very much in the same vein, though, as the Saw character, Jigsaw. He made these elaborate murder traps, and he would trap supervillains and test their abilities to their utmost. I always thought Arcade could be a very good, scary horror movie genre. Kind of a bunch of films. So I'm going to go with Arcade as a serial killer. I think that would be a good series. Though my heart is with Batroc.
That's fair.
I would go with Justice League Antarctica. I think that would make
a phenomenal
movie. I see it as an animated feature, though.
I'm with you. I would love to see that. I mean, I would, yeah. Thank God you took that one, Mike. I mean, that's a big one for me.
It was a good one. I, as a matter of fact, that's another one I found in the quarter bin. There were a bunch of comics that I love, and every time I see them in a quarter bin, I will buy them and give them to somebody else just so that I can spread the love of the comic book. So I know I can't stand seeing Justice League Antarctica in a cheap bin.
So there are two series I can't decide between. Now these are monumental in my mind for series. Tom, you're going to agree with me. You're going to. I know.
Oh,
the listeners.
I know what you're going to say.
Can't see me, but your eyes are going to light up for both these suggestions. Pirate Corps.
Yeah.
Or Top Ten.
Oh. Ooh. I thought you were going to say Damage Control.
Damage Control is already on the freaking list, and I'm sure they're going to ruin it like everything else. It's already.
I hope they don't ruin it, but Damage Control would be so good. Pirate Corps.
They did such a good job with Powerless.
Powerless was not good, despite having some great people attached. Now you know I don't like to diss things. But they didn't do a great job with that.
That was not good.
Damage Control was such a great comic book, though. So was Pirate Corps. That's a great pick. What was the other one?
Top ten.
Well, top ten is too hard.
That's a weekly serial.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's hard. Yeah.
That's HBO. Hard. It's going to be an HBO series. Like, give the Game of Thrones people top 10, and I would be a happy man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tommy, what do you got over there?
You know, what I would kind of like to see Marvel do would be the Ultimate Vision storyline. I think that would make an awesome movie. I think the visuals would be amazing. Because that was just that book was just much better than I expected it to be.
Although they should make the Flintstones into a movie, the Mark Russell Flintstones. That would be awesome.
That would be awesome, but it would be very confusing for a lot of people. Agreed?
Yes, that would make it even more awesome.
Yeah. Absolutely. I could see that as a weekly serial.
Yeah, it would be a lot of fun. I love Fred Flintstone's monologue about, you know, why he doesn't believe in marriage or why he doesn't think marriage is something everyone has to do. It's just an incredibly well-written and fun thing, but, you know, it would be confusing for a lot of people.
Yeah, I think Seth MacFarlane would do a good job with the new Flintstones.
Yeah, I think it would probably do better animated than live action.
Yes.
Yeah.
On Adult Swim.
Yes. So for my little thing on social relevance, I want to talk about some cookbooks that I've been collecting. The one I'm holding in my hand right now is called DC's Super Healthy Cookbook. That kids can make themselves, and this was printed in, I'm sure it was this was actually, the first printing was in 1981. So it is a cookbook aimed at children. I have like four of these now, different ones that the comic book companies have published, and they're a lot of fun to read. And I'm going to give you the very first recipe in there, and it is Batman's Banana Split Breakfast. And what it is two scoops of cottage cheese with wheat germ, raisins, nuts, coconut, two tablespoons of yogurt, and two bananas to make it look like a giant banana split. And it is the most disgusting combination of foodstuffs I've ever seen in my life.
Tom, I think you should you got to send that to me an email, and I'm gonna post that on the website. I'm gonna post that recipe. Just take a picture of the page and send it to me.
I will definitely do that. We also have podcasts.
I'll post it to our Facebook.
That's right. The most awful breakfast recipe we can possibly imagine, brought to you by superheroes in 1981.
Yeah, some of these are just open face, ugly jelly face sandwiches by the Green Lantern. And I'm just going to show you the picture of those there, guys. That's
okay, yeah. Take pictures of those and send them over. These are getting posted, yeah.
And another great one that I like is the invisible banana French toast, because there's a secret way to make the bananas invisible that Batman teaches you how to do with a magnifying glass.
A magnifying glass, yeah, because that reveals invisible things. Like, you know, the invisible things about the banana on the French toast is there's no banana.
There's no banana. That might be it.
We didn't have any bananas. This sounds like got some cost cutting right there.
Yeah.
And kids, eat that invisible French toast.
The best one for me is the Joker teaching you how to make popcorn balls. Because if there's a guy you can trust making snacks, it's the Joker. He's not going to poison anybody.
Popcorn. It's brilliant.
Yeah.
Could you imagine being Dick Grayson? Could you imagine being Dick Grayson in the morning, coming down in your Robin tights and everything, and Batman's saying, "Hey, we're going to have banana splits for breakfast." And you're like, "Yay!" And then he throws that out at you. Josh, you said you were going to post them on our website. What's our website?
Yeah. Our website is, you can either go to outsidethelongbox.com or thelongboxdies.com. That looks safe. That's
Green
Arrow
about to
shoot a bunch of fruit off a line of kids' heads.
Yeah, he's making a fruit skewer. So all you need for this one, this is true, all you need for this one is an arrow and a bunch of fruit.
And a bunch of very trusting kids.
Yeah. So I've found three of these books. I've also found a couple of exercise books of the same milieu. I think we could probably do a panel on misguided self-help books for children because of these. And Josh, I will definitely send you some of these pictures, because some of these are even funnier than the ones I've already sent you. All right, that was our front, that was the back, that was the... Hey, I guess we have a letter. Tommy, do we have a letter?
Of course we have a letter. This week's letter is, "Dear Longbox guys, first time writer, relatively new listener, love the Wonder Woman episode and I'm looking forward to the movie. Who do you think are the most popular comic book characters to not yet appear in a movie? Is LT the tallest because he sounds the most trustworthy? Thanks for the comic knowledge, Jerry C. from Tulsa, Oklahoma." Because we all know that the tallest is the most competent. Right, Josh?
Absolutely.
Mike,
that guy sounds
you're
tall.
Probably the tallest.
Oh, without a doubt, yeah.
I'm a whopping 6 feet.
I would like to say Green Lantern. I can't say Green Lantern,
I would like to say Green Lantern.
I would go with Green Arrow, probably. Hasn't been in a movie.
Yeah, insanely popular.
Moon Knight.
Martian Manhunter.
Martian Manhunter, yeah.
Been a TV She-Hulk. Show, but not in a movie.
Popular characters haven't appeared in films. Mr. Miracle?
Yeah, Mr. Miracle was very popular for a long time. He fell out of favor.
But, I'd love to see a new Gods show. I mean, I love Mr.
Miracle. Mikey, plug away. What do you got?
You should check out our YouTube channel. Just search for The Long Box, guys. You should also tweet us at Outside The Long Box.
You absolutely should tweet us at Outside The Long Box. That's our page, and we have a lot of fun. We did a lot of stuff this week, a lot of interaction with different people, and we had a lot of fun. Tommy, what do you got to plug?
I'd like to plug IanLeno.com. IanLeino.com. purveyor Dick. Of fine T-shirts and other geeky things.
I would say go check out the new website at OutsideTheLongBox.com or TheLongBoxDies.com and check on the first link you come to, and that's because we're appearing at MassiveCon in Worcester, Massachusetts, June 24th and 25th. We'll have a table over at Artist Alley, and we'll be presenting our panel, Stupid Supervillains and Why We Love to Hate Them. That it hasn't been scheduled yet, but as soon as it is, you can find it on our website.
That's one of my favorite ones to do because we do a lot of interaction on that one. We will actually ask people in the audience to just yell out some of their favorite supervillains. Our favorite one from last year was The House That Bleeds Dough. Do you guys remember that one?
Yes.
Yeah.
That was an actual supervillain, The House That Bleeds Dough, and Josh was able to find a picture of The House That Bleeds Dough, and we put it up on the big screen. Now, Josh, what was the problem with doing that search on the fly like that?
There was definitely some stuff that came up when you talk about sticky dough and superheroes that you don't want coming up in public when you search the first time.
Damn straight. And we also had one supervillain that we wanted to show right off the bat, and that was Codpiece. Codpiece was a supervillain who felt a little bad about being lacking in a department, so he made a just giant gun Codpiece. And when Josh did a quick web search for supervillain Codpiece, he came up with a lot of stuff that we could not put on screen. Is that correct, Josh?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I was fine searching for it, but it was definitely couldn't have gone up on the big screen in the panel. Yeah.
Well, I would like to thank Kirby Crackle for providing us our geek rock music. You can check them out at KirbyCrackleMusic.com.
Thanks, Josh.
Also, thank the NOLA Nerd Couple. They are a fellow group of podcasters. I ran into Mrs. NOLA Nerd Couple at MegaCon this weekend. Unfortunately, Mr. NOLA Nerd was sick, but he got to con a few of the days. I just didn't get a chance to see him there. I also ran into Ian and Tammy Lino.
Huh. Yeah, you put up some great con pictures. Unfortunately, you were putting up all those pictures at a terrible time for me personally. So I found a way to stop you.
I got comic books signed by Tom King, Scott Snyder, Dan Parent, Greg Rucka, Gail Simone, Jimmy Palmiotti, Amanda Connor. The list goes on. It was a phenomenal weekend. That was one of the best cons I've been to as far as having comic book talent there. They also, apparently it was very slow. I guess it's because they had just had Star Wars Celebration a few weeks earlier. Because everybody I talked to who were vendors say it was the slowest MegaCon that they had ever seen. I thought it was great because everything was spread out and there was a lot of... The only thing I didn't like was all the celebrities were only taking cash. And so you had to use cash to get a photo with a celebrity. You couldn't just use your credit card, which was not good because that means my debit card had gotten stolen, so I couldn't get access to cash. So I missed out on getting a photo with Stan Lee. So maybe next time.
Oh, I'm so worried about
that. Keep our fingers crossed.
Josh, we're going to get our picture at BostonCon, correct?
I don't know. I might have to be at Epic Nerd Camp that week.
Oof, that's right. You told me about that. I'm worried because we have kind of a bad problem with these pictures we really want to get. Josh, you want to remind people what happened when you went to get Carrie Fisher's autograph? Or do we even have to say that?
Yeah, nah, that's, yeah, that's unfortunate. No.
Let's not say it.
It's unfortunate. You had your ticket all bought for New Orleans, and sadly she didn't make it there. Stan Lee, he's turning 90 this year, right?
No, he's like over 90.
I heard somewhere that he's 90 now. And, I mean, it's just worrisome that, you know, we all want to get his autograph. We should really do it soon.
So this is the awesome Stan Lee story for this weekend. Stan Lee was at his area, and they were taking him to the green room to go freshen up. And he's on a scooter, and he decides, that he's just going to plow ahead of his handlers and says, oh, this is the Artist Alley. Let's go see who I know. So he just cruises down Artist Alley in his scooter. He's Jason Scott Jason Scott Campbell, the artist, and stops there at his booth and just starts hanging out and then just starts signing autographs with J. Scott Campbell. And she's like, let me sign that autograph too. It took his handlers like 15 minutes before they were able to find him in that crowd because everybody was just following him like he was the Pied Piper.
Like he's the damn Pope in the Pope scooter. Stanley has... Stanley.
That's
all I can say.
So he is 94 this year. He's going to be 95 in December.
94, okay. So, God bless him. You guys can see, our listeners can't see. On the wall behind me, I have a X-Men guitar that Stan Lee signed for me years and years and years ago. It couldn't have been a New Orleans con because I... What was that?
Nashville,
that's right. Because I wanted to drive it home. Stanley was signing it, and he dropped it, and he put a huge ding in it. And he says, hey, this is the only X-Men one we have, but I'll sign a different one for you. I'm like, are you kidding? This is pre-destroyed by Stan Lee. You put the ding in it. I'm never getting rid of this guitar. This is my baby. And it doesn't make a difference if there's a ding in it because I can't play for shit. But I did get my picture with him because he wasn't doing that. He was just signing these guitars that he was selling for charity. And, great guitar, but, yeah. I guess that does it for us.
You should bring the car with you to get it when you get your photo.
Oh, well, I would, but it would look weird because I'm going to be dressed as Batroc Z Leaper when I get my photo with him. Because he created Batroc. A lot of people don't know that, but the two issues I've read are both credited to Stan Lee, and it's the first two appearances of Batroc, so got to give him full credit, right? So I'm just going to be dressed as Batroc, and Batroc carrying a guitar is just, it's just off-putting. I don't like that. Why are you carrying a guitar? It's weird. It's weird, man.
It's weird.
It's weird. Did you steal it? Ha-ha.
Nobody expects Batroc to carry a guitar. It's a perfect disguise.
One of my favorite cosplays ever was when I was dressed as Batroc the Leaper, but I had the Shield t-shirt on and a little tag that said Phil Coulson.
You can just
Phil Coulson. What was that?
Yeah, you can just walk around with the guitar going, I am the Mick Jagger.
I am not the Batroc. Yeah, I hear that handsome devil is in jail. And there is no bomb in this guitar. There is no bomb.
You do not want to make that joke. Did you hear what happened at Phoenix Comic Con this week?
What happened
at Phoenix Comic Con? There was a guy who went there. He was, you know how on some cons you have to go through security to get onto the floor, but to go up to the panels, there's no security. He was waiting up on the second floor. He had several weapons and was planning on killing Jason David Frank when he came there. Luckily, he had been posting about it on social media, and one of his friends called the Phoenix police. He was crazy. But police reacted quickly and were able to subdue him with a little bit of a fight. But he had several assault weapons, a knife, pepper spray, that kind of stuff.
That's terribly ill. I mean, I always want to make a joke of things like that, but that's not something that's all that funny at all, especially when you consider what happened in Manchester so recently. Comic-Cons are a little vulnerable. They're a soft target. A lot of people, you know, wearing disguises and masks.
He was dressed up and everybody thought he was cosplaying.
Sure, you could dress up in full assault gear like a crazy person and kind of blend in with the crowd a little bit. That is very scary. And we're all glad that the Green Ranger is safe. I make fun of him a little bit every once in a while because he's he's an easy character to make fun of. But, of course, you know, thank God some of his friends took the initiative and reported him before he could do any harm. If one of you guys can post that to me, I'll post that on our Twitter so we can tell people the full story, because there seems to be more to this than we're able to say quickly on air here. Josh, I know that you weren't at that Comic-Con, but if you were there, would that have been your sector?
It was not my sector, but I would have thrown down.
Yeah, damn right you would have, you crazy son of a bitch. Mike, what is this podcast like to you?
It's like Drunk History, but for comic books.
And don't forget what I always say, cause the happy-go-lucky fellow that I am. Don't diss what you hate. Just promote what you love. Have a great day, everybody, and we'll see you next week. I don't want to know how it all turns out. I put my time in and I'm hanging around. See how everything has gone over God in the end. I don't know how to feel and I don't know why. It seems like everyone's trying to rush through their life. Like knowing how it ends is better than taking the ride. Yeah, we're moving so quick, need a rest stop. Don't need a cheat sheet, baby, you can blast off. No spoilers, please. You know that I'm too far down this road of mine to change my lane. And if I could turn this car. No spoilers, please. Don't try to tell me I'm taking the time. I'm trying to live good and I'm trying hard to write the story that I'm proud of, though I don't know yet how it ends. People come and go, but our hero remains. Lines on his face, but his heart stays. Where the black of the ink is the white of the paper is green. There's only so much time that we're working with. No chapters here that I want to skip. No spoilers, please. Spoilers.
Just fire hosing it all over Tom's face.